power in us and for us who believe, and demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. So by these scriptures, we have been invited to come and share in the very being of God. Come and share in his intimate presence. Come and know everything that God has for you. The book of Ephesians is an incredible, incredible book. And if we just read through it slowly and start to understand some things, pause at different words and different phrases that are in there, it's just so fantastic. And so we've been invited to know his presence. We've been invited to know his plan, and we've been invited to know his awesome power. So let's discover that this morning. Verse 17 says, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. That's the presence of God. Then verse 18 says that your eyes will be flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he's called you. That's the plan. Verse 19 is the power, that you can know and understand. Isn't it interesting that he wants us to know and understand him? He doesn't, this God who just comes, there's mystery to him because of who he is, but the mystery is not to hide himself from us. He wants us to know him intimately. He wants us to have close fellowship and relationship with him. That you can know and understand, verse 19 says, what is the immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power in us and for us who believe. So, look at all the no's that are in there. He wants us to know his presence, he wants us to know his plan, and he wants us to know his power for our lives. I want this. I want his presence. I want the presence of God. I feel if I don't have the presence of God, just something missing in my life, something's depleted in my life. I want the presence of God. I want to know his plan for my life. I want to know that. Amen? And I want his power in my life. And through these simple, short verses, God says that we can have all of those things. His power is in us, but his power is for us, but it's also in us, so we can give it out as well. So I hope you know this morning that God has a plan for you. And our spiritual law is that God loves you and has a plan for your life. But don't stop there. God has a plan for your life. He has something for you to do. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has a vision. 2 Peter 1:10 says that we are to be even more diligent to make our calling and election sure. If we do this, we will not stumble. Sometimes it kind of feels like we're fumbling and stumbling around. Sometimes we get a little bit frustrated because we never take time to be close with God and find out what his plan, what his purpose is for my life. So the first step in knowing his plan and knowing his power is to be intimate and to be close with God, to be in his presence. In order to have his plan planted deep within us, so we take time in his presence. We talked about those are the seven things last week that we talked about that would get you into his presence and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if we're living in a spirit of wisdom and revelation, anybody ever pray for wisdom? Yeah. God gives wisdom. Then we need to be close to God. Otherwise, it's just going to be our thoughts, our knowledge, our limited wisdom. Verse 17, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries. This is written to a church. It's not written to a pastor. It's not written to someone in leadership, someone in ministry. It's written to the body of Christ. So this is for you this morning. It's like when you go to a restaurant or you go to, let's say the other day we went to a banquet center in London, and they had a specific meal chosen for us. They made that meal specifically for us. But somehow on the song going on here, an intimate relationship with God. And inside of him, he had a spirit that just wouldn't quit. He was full of passion. Did he make mistakes? Absolutely. Made some really big mistakes. But for some reason, God didn't kick him out of the kingdom. Right? That's an hourly course for me right there. Because we make mistakes and we mess up. We mess up. I almost said screw up, but that's not a very nice terminology. So we mess up. We make mistakes. And God doesn't come along with a big stick and say, that's number one. And then the next time, well, that's number two. Well, we know that David. Some people don't like it when people preach on David. Because, oh my gosh, he made all those mistakes. Nobody ever mentions those mistakes. Yeah, God mentions his mistakes. He mentions his mistakes, but he also mentions that his mercy is new every morning. Every time you get out of bed, every time your morning comes, whatever time the rooster crows for you, whatever time, his mercies are new every morning. Some God I met just walked and just said, mercy, am I your mercy new this morning? So he was content to be by himself on a wall of sheep, but that was kind of his plan. That was his parents' plan for him. Was, you're going to be the youngest of the family, so you're going to go out there and you're going to be with all the sheep and you're going to be the shepherd. But in the midst of doing that, hear what God is saying. In the midst of doing that, in the midst of doing the mundane, the hard, the you're going to have to do this again, the same old sheep. And if you've ever dealt with sheep, they're not the smartest animal. And they're pretty thick, they're pretty dense. So they don't get it if they fall down a cliff one time and shepherd us together. They fall down again and again. And he never grumbled or complained about what he was doing. Instead, he just went back and sang and worshiped the Lord. And then in the midst of what he was doing, Samuel, the prophet, comes along one day under the direction of God, and he anoints David king. He never, when he leaves, he doesn't give him his book that says, here's how to do it, here's a manual for you, here's policy and procedure for when you get into the kingdom. I know this is going to happen, God said it, we believe it, here's the anointing, but here's some books for you to read. He never did all that. What he gave him was the anointing. And anointing is, as we know, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Your calling and my calling. Would you just say it right now, love? I have a calling.
I have a calling.
I hope that you believe that. Because your calling might be to clean houses. Your calling might be to build houses, to paint. Whatever you're doing right now, unless there's absolutely no peace, that's your calling for now. For right now, it might shift, it might change. There is another songwriter that says, when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even when their lives are filled with ordinary things, in just a moment he can touch your life. And everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. 1 Samuel 16:1 says, for I have provided for myself a king. David spent time in the presence of the Lord, ministering to the Lord with praise and worship, and the plan that God had for him began to be rooted and grounded deep down in David's spirit. Now, you remember one of the things I talked about last week, in the times that we'd be spending with the Lord and spending his word, how he can actually, the word of God can actually change our thought patterns. And you know what it's like to have a thought pattern that just keeps going over and over in your mind. Maybe it's worry. I'm just trying not to worry. But when I lay my head on the pillow, worry comes and I don't know what to do about it. The word of God can actually, because there's Dr. Carolyn Lee talks about grooves in our mind, almost like grooves in a record. Y'all know what a record is, right? And sometimes you put a needle on the of that record. Maybe I should have an illustration this morning for some of the younger crew. But there'd be a groove in that record, scratch or something, and it go over and over and over and over and over again. You'd have to lift the needle or touch the record player or something, you know, to stop it from going in that groove. And our mind is created in that manner, that it gets in that groove. And so the things that I was brought up with in my childhood, if I was forgotten, if I was rejected, if someone told me over and over again, I never made it, that's a groove there. I need to get out of that groove. It's not, I have to be careful here. It is self-talk, talking to myself, saying, Joy, you are not going to think that way. But that's only part of it. The other part is, Joy, you're not going to think that way because this is what the Word of God says. If I come to worry, the Word of God says that if I worry, I'm not trusting, and that's a sin. So I repent from that. I'm not going to think that, not going to think that. No, that doesn't work. But Dr. Carolyn Lee said, the Word of God, for 21 days, the Word of God can unlock those patterns and create a new pattern. Another 21 days in the Word of God will solidify that pattern. And another 21 days will actually build up a defense system so that when those thoughts come, automatically, my brain says no. My brain says no. My brain, you see, sometimes, let me go here. Sometimes as Christians, sometimes as believers, it's all about the spirit, my spirit being where God lives inside me. But God has given us a brain. And he gave us a brain to think. He gave us a brain that would say no. And so we have to refocus our brain and call it into line with the Spirit of God who lives inside us. Dr. Carol Lee said that would take 63 days, which most Christians won't get it that much time. But David took the time to be in the presence of the Lord. It wasn't a section of his life. Listen, if we're just coming to church on Sunday, spending a couple hours in the presence of God, which we do, maybe a little bit more if we go in the prayer room, then my life is not going to change as much as if I was to do that on a daily, regular basis. I'm not talking about hours. I'm talking about, you read the 7 things that we talked about. Getting up in the morning, spending time with God, being quiet, saying no to some things that are happening in my life, no to some attitudes. All those things that we do it on a daily basis, that This is the section for this. Now I have to go to work. We can never get away from the presence of God. Right? Can never get away from his presence. Being in his presence doesn't mean I'm sitting reading for 10 or 15 minutes, or I'm listening to this for 10 or 15 minutes, or however long it takes. Being in his presence is just having him with you all day long, and because of his inside us, we can never. Climbing up the ladder, they stand on the edge of the ladder. came in total darkness, they began to praise him. So praise will bring you into his presence. And communication is part of being close to God. So we need to communicate with God. Will you help me and help your walk with the Lord by letting some things come out of your mouth? Will you please stop just thinking your prayers? Yes, God knows it, but he gave you a voice. Is that just my little soapbox? No, it's not, because when we begin to say the word out loud, when we begin to pray things out loud, God hears. And not only God hears, the person I pray with hears that as well. And so we can come into agreement. Don't just let it roll around in your thought pattern thinking that God knows my thoughts. Yeah, he does. But if you pray with me, I don't. So let it come out. So I can come and agree with you. So this is my prayer. This passage in Ephesians is my prayer for you. That he would grant you spirit of wisdom, revelation, insight into mysteries and secrets, into the deep and intimate knowledge of his presence. Now, I told you a couple of weeks ago that I had some people, four or five people that I assigned and asked to be specifically prayed for, Pastor Ace and I, just because I felt that during the month of December we really needed it. Gary, would you take a few of those and hand them out? And maybe Jory, you would take some to the other side and hand them out. This, I'm going to keep on reading. This is your prayer assignment. And as far as I know, for the month, for the year 2019, we are going to do this together. So you will look at it and you will see that it's a calendar. And on that calendar, you can put it in whatever you do, on your fridge, in your Bible, somewhere where you can almost see it every day. Bella did it, so it's small print. Some of you might need glasses, like me. And all of this are names of our congregation members. Some of you are really squinty. But anyway, you'll be able to see it, right? So here's this. Here's the deal. The deal is that on the 14th, which is tomorrow, Kim and Glenn Amos get your prayers. Right? That's who you're going to pray for on Monday. On Tuesday, you're going to pray for Scott and Tiffany. Did you get my Tiffany? Okay. Two at the back. Are there any out? Yes. On Tuesday, you're going to pray for Scott and Tiffany. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going. Wednesday, you're going to pray for the Manuel family, and you're going to pray for Dorothy. That's your prayer assignment for that. Now, if the Lord burdens your heart, you can still go back and you can still pray for him and Glenn. It's not, you can't just pray for these people. But we, one of the things we're lacking as a church is prayer. We lack prayer. We're not going to get anywhere without prayer. And that means corporate prayer as well. We're lacking that. We have to pray. And so then on Thursday, you're going to pray for Diane Kidd. If you don't know these people, just ask somebody and they'll tell you. Friday, it's Loretta. Saturday, it's Dorothy. Sunday, it's the Pichet family. Monday, it's the Hill family. Tuesday, it's Brenda and Janet. Oh, I am going to go on. Wednesday, it's Noel and Jody and Grace and Hope. Thursday, it's the Scarrow family. Friday, it's Lori, or raise your hand in case people don't know. And Cindy. Oh, Saturday's a good day. Sunday, it's Brian and Sandy Evans. John Alden, they come and sit over here. And Monday is Tammy. Tuesday is Faith, her children, Austin and Jake. Wednesday is Noelle, you know, the French lady, and Naomi. Thursday is David Moore and Brad and Paige. Got it? not to be in the dark about it. He wants you to know his plan. I like what Mark Twain said. The two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. If his plan for you is to be king, and spiritually it is, he wants you to know it. Even though others around might see a shepherd boy, God might see a king. Even though people around may not acknowledge what you're going through, or even your gifts, or who you are in Christ, God does. I sat at a table with some dear friends of ours on Friday night, and I was doing something, writing some notes on my phone, and it was during the dinner time, so I wasn't interrupting the speaker, or I was being disrespectful, but I was just writing something on my phone, and I heard him talking, and I heard him say my name, and he said, you fillings happening in people's teeth. We heard about gold flakes happening. And instead of saying, ah, that's not of God, we said, we need to go and see what's going on. We need to find out about these things. And you know what? Sometimes we're so afraid that we're just going to get sucked into some fake religious thing that we don't even have the confidence to trust in God to say, I'm going and check that out. There's a special healing service down over there, and I need healing. I don't When the Lord saw the response of Moses, when the Lord saw, not before, he'd been there for 40 years, hanging around with his sheep, probably, I don't know, maybe talking to God, I don't know. It wasn't until God saw him turn aside. Why did we say, come to the front? Why did we have altar calls? Why did we say, why didn't we show up on the front this morning as we sing the song? Because when the Lord sees us doing something, why did we say, come, let's raise our hands together. Why are we singing about my hands lifted up? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. God, what are you seeing me turning aside to? What am I doing? I'm turning aside to that quiet little call that I get. I'm turning aside. And it was there that God shared his plan. There's just one problem with Moses. Moses said, listen, there was no recollection of Moses stuttering before this point. Right? Never said that Moses couldn't talk all the way through the scriptures. All of a sudden he's confronted with God. And God is saying, I have a plan, I want to go to the nation, I want to do this, I want to save Israel, I am. And Moses said, who am I? I can't even talk. But God didn't say, well, you've talked before this, so what's your problem now? In the end, out of God's frustration, because Moses kept saying, I can't do it. Lord didn't say I am. Who should I say you are? Read all those excuses in Exodus 3. Who do you think I am? God never responded and said, Moses, I've trained you for this. This is what you came here for. No, he just said, here's what I want you to do. And finally, Moses said, here I am, God, send Aaron. And God said, okay. But that was out of his anger and out of his frustration. Listen, there's a story told about how to catch a monkey that goes something like this. You put some peanuts in a jar. I couldn't do it for peanuts, so they like to pretend. With a narrow neck, you bury that jar in the ground. You leave the hole in the top open. The monkey comes along and discovers it, sticks his hand in, and grabs the peanuts. Now, with a fistful of peanuts, he can't get his hand out of the jar. And someone comes along and catches that monkey. The focus is on the peanuts. His hand gets stuck. How many of us have got some things in our past that we're just holding on to? Not going to let go of that. Not going to let go of my selfishness, my anger. I'm not going to let go of those things. There are some things we're going to have to stop focusing on what was past, what was behind, stop focusing on our debt, stop focusing on this. You name the things that we focus on that keep us stuck in the same place. And we need, in order to have the plan of God, we need to change our focus. Because God laid out a whole plan for Moses, reminding him of who he was, reminding him of the awesome miracles that he did, but Moses still said they won't believe me. His hand was stuck on the peanuts. They're never going to believe me. Who am I? I got to go back to the place where I just murdered somebody. Well, God gave him personal signs that what's in your hand, that he's holding that rod, that staff in your hand, that he's holding that, throwing it on the ground, seeing it from a snake, picking it up. Still, Moses said, I can't do it. And I'm really glad that God has thrown us aside because we need, quotation, more information. Or because of my personality. We do. The church does. Won't use this person because of this personality. They ask too many questions. On and on it goes because we won't use people because of their different personalities. on that basis when he wanted to keep me working with her. It was so frustrating. I'm sure she was frustrated as well. But you know what I did? I took her back because she had asked so many questions. I'm like, stop asking these questions. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Those And but she couldn't do it. And finally I said, okay, here's the beginning of it. The mail comes in here. Here's where it goes. This is what happens to it. Here's where the donations go. We do this. We do this. We do this. I ran her through the whole process from point A to point Z, and she got it. But she needed more information. That's how she learned. But in my youngness, or whatever you want to call it, immaturity, I'm ready to throw my hands up and say, she's not getting it. I don't know what the blockage is. Moses wasn't getting it because he needed more information. Maybe because of what was in his hand. The title of my message is a rod, a guitar, and a crown. So maybe what was the problem was that he was more for leadership. So that rod, that staff, he meant leadership. And leadership thinks and oftentimes learns differently and asks more questions. We need more information about the staff in my hand. David never asked any questions, never asked Saul a single, Samuel a single question. What would these things mean? No. What do you mean? I'm the youngest. I'm not the strongest. Somebody else is stronger. I'm not the sheep. I'm not the trained. I don't know how to do this. David never did that. No, David did. Back with his guitar. Okay, it wasn't a guitar, it was a wire. But it was the Ron say it's a guitar, close better with the title. A rod, a guitar, and a crown. That's all David did. Because David was practicing the presence of God. He had a different call on his life as well. He had a guitar in his hand, not a rod, not a staff. Moses needed more information, David did not. And I find it fascinating how God works with the responses of people when they call into ministry. My response? I'm not listening. I'm not listening. That can't be me. Take case, but don't take me. What's my response? I have children. They are teenagers. They're going to get in trouble if I go on the road. I'm not listening. Wait till I'm 60, then I'll go. Loved. I am so loved by God, she made me jealous. though she feared her husband king, she used her crown to free Israel. The little boy in the New Testament used his little insignificant brown bag lunch to feed 5,000 people. He surrendered it to Jesus, and he used what was in his hand. With his presence, his plan comes his power. Listen, it's true that when we submit and surrender to the plan of God, not all days are packed with passion and enthusiasm and excitement and unforgettable things like people falling off chairs and being slain in the spirit and sliding over the carpet and hearing the voice of God and being drunk in the spirit. When we surrender to this plan, not all days are like that. But we can still know his presence. Daily, his presence is always there. You say it. When I think I'm alone, I'm not. Well, he's saying a version of it, but he's just saying that. God promised to do it through Moses, and he promises to do it through you and through me. Why did God call David to be king? Not just so he could bless him, not just so he could look good right around your chariot, not only to bless him, but to govern our nation. Why did he call Moses? Not just so he wouldn't have to live in the desert anymore, but to deliver a nation. Why did he use Esther? Not just for her beauty and protection, but again to save a nation from annihilation. Why did my father use a little boy's lunch? Ah, we can identify with that. Right? We can identify with, I don't have a lot in my hand. Why do you use that little boy's lunch? He's a compassion on hungry, needy people. Why does God call you in his presence and give you a plan and a power for you to do ministry? Yes, it's for your blessing. Yes, it's for your benefit. Let's lift our vision higher. Let's see and know that people's lives are at stake. Your friends, my friends, who are not dead, embrace Jesus. Or maybe they have, but they've just gone astray and stepped off a path after a while. We have the power to bring restoration to that. There's a lot at stake. And so we come into his presence. Remember, that was number one on the list. Spend time with God. When?
Every day.
Every day. Spend time getting to know him in a more intimate way than ever before through his word. How often? Every day. Say every day.
Every day.
Don't get silent on me. Learn his plan for you. Know that you have in your hand the very thing that God wants to use to set others free. His power is there. His anointing is there. What's in your hand? Not your wallet. What's in your hand? It can be used to free yourself and free others. Pastor Sue Kiteley has an administrative assistant family who worked for Pastor Sue for over 20 years. That was her job, but it was her calling as well. For Bev, that calling is shifting now. She has been going to retire. do this, let me buy this. So that's a calling. I believe people that have wealth and money, I believe that's a calling. I believe that's not only a gift that God gives you, but it's a calling. So what do I do with these finances? I can live on 10%. What do I do with the other 90%? What do we do with that? We just amass huge things. Man, I can go on and on with that. Sometimes I think, God, would you just have one football player come into our church and tithe for a year? We'd be all set, you know? Right. So, that's his calling at that time. I'm telling you this because I want you to know, I want you to get out of the mindset that a calling is something so spiritual. Your calling is your work, it's what you do. And when you're anointed of God, when the anointing of God comes into that place, you guys, you have such a huge, and Brad, where are you now, Brad? Sleep in back there, there you are. You clean schools. Every desk you touch, oh, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this child right now, whatever you're going through. Oh, Father, I thank you for this teacher. I pray for fellow for the Holy Ghost. See, anointing of God, I can do that. We can mutter our mom and say, you know, I talked to you this morning. She said, I want to move the tables a little bit. It's a little difficult for me because it's so high. And so she said, well, we strategically planned that. We moved that table there. We realized when we moved it there that you really have to turn your head. So we had to move it back. She said, I stand at this podium, and the red sits over there, and the red says, oh, I can't see you very well. So they have to move this table over here. Right? It's a calling. That's not just like a clean up after we swamp people. Let me make this easier for the congregation, easier for the church. I'm telling you this so that you understand and know and have a fresh revelation, wisdom, and insight into what your calling is. Your call of God to do something for Him. What is it? Find it. And then go for it with everything that's within you. If you think you're going to fail, do it quickly. Fail, get over it, and get over yourself and get out. One of the callings we can have, especially as we get older, is praying. That's such a huge calling. There are people called to be intercessors. Oh, what did you do today? I'm not an hour and a half before God in prayer. What? That's your calling. And it's awesome. It's wonderful. What's in your hand? A mop? A broom? A hammer? Cookies? Your hand, not your mug. What's in your hand? What's God given to you? And who's He brought alongside you to encourage? So don't let grumbling take the place of praise.
Right.
If you don't have joy, maybe you step out of His presence. Because in His presence is what? Fullness of joy. Not just a little squeak it out. I can be miserable around my family. No, I'm full, full of joy. If you don't know that you have something of value, I want to tell you that you have something of value in your hand this morning. A rod, a guitar, a crown, maybe just a brown made lunch. We've been invited to come and share the being. Come and share the being of God. Come share the being of God in His intimate presence. Know His plan and know the greatness of His power. Bow your heads with me, please. Just want to say to you this morning, you never invited Christ into your life, and today can be your day. If this morning